We pray that Pastor Harrison is having an enjoyable vacation, and we will anticipate him coming back even next Sunday. But for today, we will be talking from the book of Isaiah. And so if you would turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 40, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. And listen to these words, because these words are a change in how Isaiah is writing. In fact, there are some scholars who think that Isaiah was written by two authors, or maybe more. Because in this portion of Isaiah, starting in verse 4, chapter 40, we are seeing a change in how he speaks to the people. And we will talk about that in a few minutes. But most biblical scholars who are evangelical in nature believe that Isaiah wrote this entire book. And there's a reason why there is a change in how Isaiah writes, starting in chapter 40. And listen to these words as he has written. We'll read Isaiah 40, 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hands double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall be made become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go up. On up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Thus far the reading of this scripture. If you are familiar with Handel's Messiah, you will know that the very first words that are spoken in Handel's Messiah come from this passage. And we hear a tenor singing a recitative after we have gone through the prelude. And the tenor sings, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare has been accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. And we start Handel's Messiah with these beautiful words. And the entire Handel's Messiah, which is an oratorio, which is a story of Christ's birth, it's a story of Christ's death, and it is a story of his resurrection. Not only is the Messiah a piece of music that is beautiful, but the story that is included in this oratorio is fantastic. And so the author, the lyricist, when he wrote the words to begin the Messiah with chose these words from Isaiah. And why would he have chosen these words? And why are we looking at these words on this last Sunday of 2013? Well, first of all, the end of the year is a good time for us to reflect on all that has happened during the year. But it also is a good time to anticipate what might happen in the next year. And in our reflections, and as we are thinking about what has happened in the past, we are going to think about times when we have been comforted by God and by others. And so we are going to talk about the comfort that God has given to us. And what is the message that Isaiah is telling the people of Israel? We often pray, and we heard it this morning. We pray that God would comfort people who are sick or going through trial or temptation or whatever. And what do we mean when we are praying for comfort? What does it mean to give comfort? What does it mean to receive comfort? These are the themes that Isaiah is bringing out in this passage. And these are the themes that we want to develop this morning. In fact, we're going to talk about six ways that God is comforting the people of Israel. That is our goal for this morning. Six ways that God comforts his people. But how do we recognize comfort? How do we see comfort? How do we know that comfort has come to us? Well, first of all, let me tell you, what does it mean to be comforted? Well, if you are a person without any troubles, you don't need to be comforted. If you are a person who doesn't worry about anything, you don't need to be comforted. Are you a person that doesn't have any sorrows? No comfort is needed. A person who has no sin does not need to be comforted. And so a person who has troubles, a person who is a worrier, a person who falls into sin, a person who has all these difficulties of life is in need of comfort. And I would say that every single one of you needs comfort at some point in your lives. And where does that comfort come from? It comes from God and it comes from others because we are reflective of what God has taught us. And so comfort is given to those people who have afflictions, who have physical afflictions, spiritual afflictions. Comfort is given to those people who worry, those people who are frightened, who are concerned about what is going to happen. Comfort is given to those with afflictions and with problems because comfort strengthens them. It assists them in their needs. Comfort comes alongside of people. And it comes and is a companion to people going through those trials and tribulations of life. That is what comfort is. And so what words of comfort is Isaiah telling the people? And we read in the beginning of Isaiah, God is telling Isaiah, comfort my people. And God is not just saying, comfort my people. He's saying, comfort, comfort my people. He is emphasizing the word comfort. Now, Isaiah has just spent 35 chapters in his book berating the people of Israel. He has been saying, you are sinful people. You need to repent of your sins. And if you don't repent of your sins, God is going to judge you. And the judgment is not going to be nice. You are going to be carried away. You are going to be brought down. You are going to lose everything. 35 chapters of sermons. We've just We could read through all of them. The judgment of God on Israel, the judgment of God on all these other nations that surround Israel, because they do not believe and they do not obey God's commandments. And now, God is changing the way Isaiah is going to preach. God is saying, stop all of that. You're done preaching judgment. You're done preaching all these things to the people of Israel. Stop that. Now your sermon is going to change. You are going to preach comfort. That's what God wants Isaiah to preach. And that's why some people think, oh, another preacher must be preaching this sermon. But no, Isaiah has been changed. He is not to preach the judgment of God, but he is to preach comfort. And so the very first thing that God commands Isaiah to do is to change his tone. He says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Don't you think a preacher who's been a fire and brimstone preacher all his life, all of a sudden God tells them to preach tenderly, that is quite a change? And now you want you to be a tender preacher to Jerusalem. Not that fire and brimstone and judgment preacher. When we speak tenderly to others and we want to comfort others, we need to speak tenderly to others. God speaks tenderly to us during trials and tribulations. God doesn't berate us and tell us all the things we're doing wrong when we need comfort. He speaks tenderly to us. And in this particular aspect, the people of Israel were going to be judged for the sins that they had committed. And they were going to be carried away to Babylon. It was a fact. Isaiah knew it. The people could see it coming. And so Isaiah needs to prepare the people for this time of trial. And how do you prepare people for a time of trial? You speak tenderly to them. His tone has changed. His way of speaking has changed. And when we start reading from chapter 40 to the end of Isaiah, we see that he has some wonderful words to tell us. And you are very familiar with some of those passages in Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 55, where he speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. But here he's starting out by speaking tenderly. And so we need to speak tenderly to others. If anyone is caught in a transgression or a sin, you are to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Galatians 4, verse 4. But secondly, God tells Isaiah, I have a message for you to tell the people of Israel. And here's the message. You are to cry out that the war is over. No more warfare. I'm not going to speak any more fighting words to you. You are not going to be part of this war any further. We read the warfare is ended. It's over. No more judgmental language. No more difficulties. No more problems with this war. It's over. You know what's going to happen. And so we too are in a battle. We might be battling a certain sin. We might be battling an illness. We might be battling a difficulty. We might be battling a situation at work. We might be battling a problem at home. The war is over as far as God is concerned. God knows what's going to happen, and He is preparing you for what's going to happen. As far as He's concerned, the warfare is over. He says, you need to be comforted because the end is in view. And it's been concluded. And you have to think about this. Even our own salvation is part of this. God knows what's going to happen. When the fullness of time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might be receive adoption as sons. That war is over. God has saved you, even though you're still struggling with sin. You have been adopted, even though sometimes you don't feel like it. The war is over. Salvation has come. And that's where Isaiah is bringing us. People of Israel, you're going to be carried away to Babylon. You've lost that battle. But you're going to be returned to Jerusalem. You're going to be restored. Now, this is going to take a long time. But the war is over. We know where you're going to go. And isn't it a great comfort to us at times that we know the war is over? We know we have to get there. There are a lot of steps to get there. But we know that the war is over. We know what's going to happen. Whatever our battle is, whatever you are, and however you are, you know that you are in Christ, and God knows how it's going to end, even if you don't know. And you also know one other thing, that it is going to end well. Your end is going to end well. Maybe not on this earth, but it's going to end well when you're with God in heaven. And so then the third thing that God tells Isaiah, a third word of comfort, is to cry out another thing. And he says to the people, your iniquity is pardoned. And I think this must have been to Isaiah a very difficult thing for him to say, because he had been preaching and preaching and preaching and saying, you're going to be judged for the sins that you're committing. And if you don't repent, God is going to carry you away and He's going to destroy your nation. He's going to pull you apart. You're not going to have your homes anymore. You're going to be gone. You're going to be made destitute. And then God says, your sins have been pardoned. But that's the message that Isaiah was given. The debt has been paid. A pardon has been given. A pardon is not given unless a debt has been paid. Somebody paid that debt. And we have anticipatory language here that God is going to make a provision for the sins that the people have committed. And this is a powerful comfort for us. When we fall in sin and we're pulled up short and we ask for forgiveness of our sin, we know that we've been pardoned because our Lord Jesus Christ has paid the debt that we have for the sins that we've committed. Jesus Christ has paid our debts for each and every sin that we commit. We read in Isaiah 55 that let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God that for he will abundantly pardon. We are abundantly hardened. This is a wonderful comfort for us that we have been pardoned of our sins. And we need to be reminded from time to time that the sins that we've committed in the past, the sins that we did in the last hour, in the last minute, have been pardoned. And as we come before God and we repent of these sins, they have been pardoned. A wonderful comfort as we go to someone who has fallen into sin and is a Christian, and we can come beside them and say, it's bad. That sin was bad. It was offensive. It is a problem. But God has pardoned that sin. God has forgiven that sin. This is something that we can tell ourselves, we can tell others. It's a wonderful word of comfort to those who fall into sin. And then fourthly, we said, it seems like God is really excited about this topic for Isaiah. Because God, first of all, said, Isaiah, comfort my people. Here's how you're going to do it. Here's what you're going to tell them. And then a voice appears, and a voice cries, and it says, listen, I am going to reveal my glory. That's what God is saying. I am going to reveal my glory. He announces, I am going to show up. And what are you supposed to do? If all of a sudden a very high official wants to show up, we're going to scrub down the place, right? Straighten it up. And that's exactly how Isaiah describes it. The road that the Lord is going to come on needs to be straightened up. It needs to have all those curves taken out of it. It says, I need to lift up the valleys. I need to lower the mountains. All the uneven path needs to be made even. And all those rough places need to be smoothed out. And why is that? Because God is going to reveal His glory. Now, when we fall into sin, or we've done something bad to someone else, what is our tendency? Our tendency is to avoid, isn't it? That person that you offended, and you see them in the grocery store around the next in the next aisle, you skip that aisle for now, right? But God isn't like that. God says, even though you've offended me, I want to see you. And I want you to see me. And I want you to see me in all my glory. I don't want you to avoid me at all. I want you to enjoy me. So, he says, straighten up. And this particular passage was used by John the Baptist. Remember John the Baptist crying in the wilderness? He says, make straight the way. He says, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He quotes from this very passage, and his point is, repent. So you have sinned. You need to repent. And if you repent, what are you going to see? The glory of God. You'll see God in all of His magnificence. And sometimes, that is a tremendous comfort to us. God doesn't want us to hide from Him and to lock ourselves in our houses and say, I really did something bad. I don't even want to go out. God wants us to come out of our house and look on the glory of who He is, so that we can see Him and want to prepare ourselves for Him. And so we need to point people with words of comfort to who God is and what He is like when they're going through times of trial. That is comforting to know that He is a glorious, glorious God. So if we are comforting someone who is sick or dying, someone who suffered a great loss or is greatly disappointed or is suffering the consequences of sin, we can use some words of comfort by pointing our friend to who God is and to His glory and say, think on God and not on your own self. And don't wallow in self-pity and discouragement and disappointment. But get out of yourself. Get out of your house where you're hiding yourself and look upon God. Those are words of comfort. And then it's like God comes again and a voice cries out. And a voice says in this time, you can't depend on the power of man. The power of man will not prevent you from delivering you from sin, but the power of God will deliver you from sin. And then it says, the words of man are not reliable. Don't believe all those people what they tell you. Man's power, man's words, man's promises. Isaiah compares to grass. Well, you see the grass out here today. Not much to it, is there? But last summer, it looked great. God's word isn't like that. It's always right and great. It's not going to wither when we have a heat wave or die in the fall and come back in the spring. It's variable, isn't it? It grows fast sometimes. It doesn't grow other times. It's dead other times. That's what grass is. Isaiah compares the words of man to grass. And then he contrasts it with God, whose word is reliable. And so when we pick up our Bibles and we hold them in our hand, we know that those words are always going to be true. They're going to be right. They're always going to be there. And we know that these things are never going to fail. God's word is right and true. And then, starting in verse 9, God intensifies His message. God says to Isaiah, you really got to get this word out there. The words of comfort. You need to really say something. And so what does God do? He calls for a wholehearted public announcement that will proclaim the good news. And we read in verse 9, He says, go on up to a high mountain, O Zion. Lift up your voice with strength. That's what Isaiah is being told to do. Make a public announcement. Proclaim the good news. He says, let everyone know that I am your God. Show me off. Everyone knows who Isaiah's God is because he set himself up on a high mountain, No one could miss this public announcement. And Isaiah wasn't pointing people to himself. He was just a messenger. He was saying, look at God. Look at God. All right? Look at God. It says, behold your God. What about God? Behold, he comes with might. That's what it says. Behold, his reward is with him. Behold, his recompense is from him. Look at God. So he's intensified the message. The message of comfort is that God is all powerful. We need to look at him. He is the one who can handle every kind of difficulty that you might have. And for us, he is our Savior. And the Christmas season is a very wonderful time of year because we are directed to behold our God. And we see him in a manger. We see him as a child. And then as we consider who God is, we see him growing up into a man. And we see him preaching the gospel. And we see him speaking all these words. Words of salvation. Words about what it is like to live in his kingdom. And then we see him dying on the cross. And we realize that the reason he is there on that cross is because of the sin that we have. And that he is paying for it. And then we see him raised up and glorified. So behold the glory of God. Behold the glory of the risen Christ. Behold God the Father who has created us. That is what Isaiah is pointing us to. Now the Israelites did not understand very well how God was going to save them. But they understood that their sins had been paid for. And so, God is the one who is going to help those people who are going through all these difficulties and all these trials and all of these things. And he speaks to those who are worried. He speaks to those who are frightened. And it says here, do not be worried. Do not be frightened. And what does God say? Well, we read some very wonderful words of Jesus when he was speaking to people about worry and fear. He says, do not be anxious about clothing. Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow thrown into the oven. Well, for us, it died back because of the winter. How much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not be anxious, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus helps us in being anxious. And so we have seen that God has comforted us by using tender language. God has comforted us by telling us the war is over. God's plan is in place. And you know where it is going to end. It's going to end with you being with God in heaven. Thirdly, your sins are forgiven. Your iniquity has been paid for. Fourthly, we need to look at God's glory. We need to focus on God and not on ourselves. Fifthly, God's word is trustworthy and reliable. What God says is really going to happen. in comparison to what man says, and it might not happen. And sixthly, we understand that God is mighty, even though we are weak. And now seventhly, some very beautiful words, starting in verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Remember how Isaiah was supposed to speak tenderly to the people? There's a reason for that. God is a tender God. And God takes particular care for those who most need his care. Those who need to be comforted, God will comfort just like a shepherd. And we're talking about a good shepherd, takes care of his flock. And we see here, he's tending his flock like a shepherd. When the lambs are born, the shepherd takes them up in his arms and carries them around and protects them. And when the flock has to move, make sure the lambs come along with the flock, that they stay with their mother. That's what the shepherd is doing. And he takes care of those who are suffering or are burdened. It says, he gently leads those that are with young. And so those mothers who have a little tiny lamb, they can't move that fast. They need to be just gently led along so I can go to the next pasture. I'm not going to speed along and rush them along and maybe the little lamb will get injured or tired or whatever. No, I'm going to gently lead the mother and the lamb to that next field or to the place of safety. That's what Isaiah is saying here. We have a tender shepherd. We have a shepherd who takes particular care of those who have burdens, of those who have difficulties. And some of you are like those lambs, and you need to be held close to God. And you know, I have visited people who are declining, whose bodies are wearing out. And they're going through physical trial. And they're saying, I know that this is going to be the end. These people are comforted by the Word of God. That's what they want to hear. They like to have the Word of God read to them. They like to hear what God has to say to them. And that's like holding that lamb in your arms. I want to hold the lamb close to me, says God. I want you close to me. And so, in times of trial, where should you be turning? Where should you be going? You should be going close to God. He's going to tenderly lead you. God is going to give you those things that you desire to hear. And so when you hear the scriptures read, you say, yes, that's talking about me. That's talking about God. I want to be close to God. God wants to be close to me. God is helping me get there. That's what Isaiah is talking about here. We read in 2 Corinthians, Paul is speaking for God. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In our weakness, God's power is perfected because we are buoyed up by the power of God. Even though physically we can't do anything, Maybe spiritually we're at a low point, but the Word of God is soothing, is comforting, is something that we desire. We just want to be closer to God. How do we get closer to God? By hearing His Word, by crying out to Him, by soaking ourselves with Him. We read in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." What a promise! If you are one of those lambs, if you are one of those sheep, no one can take you away from our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He knows who you are. He keeps you in His arms. He leads you gently to the end. That's a promise. That's something we can believe. God's love for us will never falter. He will always cherish us. He will always care for us. God will never allow more trouble in our lives than we can handle. He will never allow afflictions to bring us down so low that we forget who God is, because God has a tender, loving heart for us. And when we consider the year 2014 and what it might bring to us, we need to be reminded that God's comfort is always present. It's always there. We can tap into it at any time. It is available for us.